Desire y'all's prayers this morning. It's a beautiful morning again. A beautiful day the Lord has made. I do appreciate the song. So the thought I wrote on the board is faith as a child. What does it mean to have faith as a child? I'm going to start off in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 13. Actually, I think that's not where I want to be. I think it may be in Mark. Yes, Mark chapter 10, verse 13. It says, "And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." And I've been thinking about this lately, thinking about a lot of things. We have prayer requests out, and, you know, faith is one of those things that when you look at children, they view the world different than we do as adults. Ask a little child, what do you want to be when you grow up? You're going to get a wide range of things. They don't seem to have limitations based on how hard it may be to achieve that. You'll hear things like, astronaut, I'm going to be an astronaut. I'm going to be an airline pilot. I'm going to be a firefighter. And they're, the way they view, this is all possible. This is easily done. This is just something they can go do. Their faith, the way they view the world, the possibilities to a child are different than the possibilities to us as adults. And I want us to think about that a little bit this morning. You know, believing as a child, my parents had to raise me with the joys and challenges that no doubt presented to them from time to time. And as a child, I've thought back, how did I view what my parents did? There were times they rewarded me. There were times they corrected me. And, you know, I trusted them no matter which circumstances I found myself in. If I was being corrected, well, I was being corrected. I had to deal with that. If I was being rewarded, if mom said, okay, well, you've done well, I'm going to give you a special treat after dinner, I looked forward to that. I had no thought that that special treat was not going to be there after dinner. That it just, that didn't come into my brain. Why? Well, mom said she's going to give me a special treat after dinner. It's no different than if dad said he was going to whoop me after dinner. That was another thing. I had no doubt. After dinner, it's not going to be so fun this go around. Why? Well, dad said. Have you ever thought how we look at the Lord? Do we look at him the way we looked at our parents when we were a small child? I had no doubt when dad said, you're going to get a whooping, that you were going to get a whooping. Now, I've had him wait up to a week before he got around to that whooping. Because to hear him talk about it now, he was a little perturbed. And he felt like it took a week for him to calm down enough to sanely handle my whooping. Because if he'd approached it in or sooner, he was afraid I would get more of a whooping than he intended to give me. But you know what? I knew I was going to get that whooping. That whooping was coming my way. Dad was, he'd said it. And if Dad said it, that was one pretty certain thing you was going to find yourself in sooner or later. But you know, if he also said he was going to get us a treat, as children, sometimes, that when we lived there in Springfield, it was a bit of a drive out from the church there in Springfield to the farm there in Fairgrove. And if Dad looked like he was in a good mood, us children would ask him if we could stop at the 7-Eleven somewhere and go in, and he'd buy us a couple pieces of the 5-cent hard candy. You know, for a kid, that was something we liked. So some evenings we'd ask Dad, hey, can we stop for candy? You know, we didn't always get yeses. There were times that, no, you can't stop for candy. But what we did know is if you said yes, we was getting candy. You know, the things we asked for, it was all subject to my Father's will. I asked expectantly, hey, can we stop and get some candy? There was an expectation. If it's in His will, guess what I'm about to get? Candy. But if it's not in His will, you know, there's things you do as a young child that you do differently as you get older. As a young child, your parent tells you no. You may ask him once or twice, but then you forget about it. You go on, you're playing with something else, and you're happy. You get a little older, though, and you you start wanting to talk back. Anybody ever talked back to your parents as you moved from being a young child into a teenager? And y'all don't have to share experiences, but did it ever work out as good for you as it seemed to work out for me in the negative sense? Talking back, if you wanted to argue about why can't we stop and get a snack? Well, because I said so. And if you keep that up, you ain't going to get lunch. And we'll see how that works for you, because I told you no and you're wanting to talk back to me. But have you ever noticed a lot of times little children, they will question you. It's not that they won't sometimes ask two or three times in a row, but then there comes a point, Mom said no, Dad said no. I'm going to go find something else to play with. That's done. We know that's taken care of. There's no sense continuing to pull for that. But you know, the child also knows if they say yes, I'm getting it. I'm going to get that. Do we trust God that He will bless us? But do we also obey Him as easily as a child? You know, I remember as I aged, when I was a young boy cleaning my room. Yeah, I don't remember it being such a chore as it was as I got closer to 16, 17. I don't know what it is about aging that can change something that you have to do, from something you just got in and do to something you wanted to argue and drag your feet on, and the next thing you know, you're sitting there grounded. So I want us to consider a story now back in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, starting in verse 17. I mean, chapter 1 Samuel chapter 17, starting in verse 34. Now, this is David. And this is where they're out. Goliath is challenging the army. And David's been brought before Saul. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he shall deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And David said unto, and Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Now let's think about this. Somewhere in David's past, as a lad, taking care of the sheep for his father, no doubt, a bear and a lion had came up and attacked a flock. Now we don't know if these were at the same time. We don't know if it was separate events. But if you think about it, at some point in his career as a shepherd, he had faced a lion and a bear. Now, most of us are adults here, and I want you to just kind of think in your head for a little bit. If you had a man guarding your flock, armed with what they had for weapons back then, what kind of advice would you give that man when it came to how to deal with that lion or that bear if it came after the flock? What advice would you give him? Would you tell that man you expected him to go fight the bear? To go fight the lion? Would you maybe say, well, you've got the staff, try to keep him at bay with the staff, but don't let him get too close. Because if he gets too close, you you may find that you're in just as much danger as the flock. But what kind of advice would we as adults give another adult facing that situation? We would probably fall into the save yourself mode a little bit, you know. I can get another lamb, I can get another sheep, but, you know, be careful. We don't want to lose them, but I don't want you to necessarily go out of your way and get hurt. Now let's change the question a bit. What advice would you give your child? What advice do you think David's father may have given him regarding these wild animals that might want to come up to the flock? Do you think he told David, well, if one of them ever grabs that sheep, you go take it out of his mouth. You go grab that old lion by his beard and you take care of him. It's your job. Do you think that's what Jesse would have told David? Or do you think his father's heart would have stirred up in him? He'd be like, David, now you might run into some wild animals out there. And while I want you to protect the sheep, be careful. He may have probably emphasized being careful more with David than he would have with the hired hand. Why? That's his boy there. But David, what did David do when these things came up? Well, he went out and said he smoked the animal. Now, we don't know if it meant he took the staff and hit him at a distance. But if we keep reading what he said, it wasn't long before he was up close enough to take the animal out of the mouth, the lamb out of the mouth of the animal. That's getting pretty close. And then he related how once he did that, the animal turned on him and he grabbed it by the beard and killed it. What do you think David's father would have said if he had heard David tell this story? Do you think David went home and just told his father right off the bat? You know, I was out herding the sheep the other day and a big old bear came out, grabbed a lamb, and I beat that bear up and took the lamb away, and the lion jumped out and tried to get the lamb from me. I grabbed the lion by the beard and I stabbed him. What do you think David's father would have said? If that was your child, what would you tell your child? Would you say, oh, well, that's a wonderful thing. You did the right thing, son. Good job. Way to go after that bear and that lion. Or would you probably be more likely to say as an adult, son, I'm glad it worked out for you. But you know, you need to think things through before you just jump off into the deep end with those animals. You may have just got lucky this go around. Did David consider his success with those animals luck? You know, David was looking at things differently. Where did he get the confidence to attack a lion and a bear? I doubt he got it from instructions from his earthly father. Most earthly fathers would be like, son, I really want you to be safe. But you know, David seemed to contemplate the Lord when he was out there. We have Psalms 23. I'm going to read it, verses 1 through 6. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Somehow, while David was out there as a young lad, watching the sheep and contemplating the Lord, he picked up on who the great shepherd really was, didn't he? And he started seeing parallels between what am I doing with these few sheep that my father owned, and what is the God in heaven doing for me? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's looking at how he takes care of the little sheep put in his hands. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He's like, I'm doing this for the sheep. I stay by them, but at the same time, maybe I range out a little further ahead from time to time, looking for the good grass, looking for the water, make sure they come to it. The God in heaven is doing that for me. I'm seeing it. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He restoreth my soul. There's a peace inside that I have. Why? Because I can trust God. These sheep, as long as I'm around, they put their heads down and they eat of the grass. They're not all fussed up and worrying about the wolves and the lions and the tigers and the bears. Why? The shepherd's by. The shepherd's here. All we have to do is relax and go ahead and eat. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, the rod and the staff, generally tools of correction. He didn't fear death. Why? Because the Lord had corrected him. The Lord had worked with him. The Lord had shown him, don't fear evil. Don't fear that. Trust me. If you will come when I tell you to come, if you will go when I tell you to go, you'll be safe. You'll be fine. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. The blessings that he saw, the fattening of the lambs, their wool coming in nice, not wool that's all dirty and matted and brambled, but wool that'll be easy to use. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, David had learned out there some things about God. And we see here with the Philistine before him, David looked at that Philistine the same way he looked at the bear and the lion. This man that's defying the Almighty God is no different than the bear and the lion. The great shepherd wouldn't want the sheep to be lost. The great shepherd is willing to do what? Lay his life down for the sheep. Didn't our shepherd do that for us? Didn't he come and say, I'm going to pay your debt, child? So David's sitting there. And he realizes, you know what? This man is defying the living God. This is not so. Somebody needs to go do it. What advice did he get from the adults around him? What advice did David get from the adults around him? His brother. You're just a naughty child that's come out here to watch the battle. You need to go back to watching those sheep. You're just out here just to watch what goes down. You need to go home. He gets brought before King Saul. What did King Saul say? Who are you? This Goliath, he's been a warrior trained from a youth up. You're just a small boy. You have no business taking this man on. And David's response, I hear you. Well, let me tell you a story from back when I was a boy. Let me tell you a story about something I learned about my God, the God that that man is talking about. Let me explain to you why I'm not going to take your armor and put it on. Why I'm just going to say, this is what the Lord's trained me to use to defend the sheep with, and that's all I'm going to need to defend myself against this Goliath. Even though it makes no sense to you as an adult, guess what? As a child, let me tell you about my God. Let me tell you what He's done for me. You know, He knew the hand that had protected him to go against the bear and the lion. Somewhere out there that day, I'm going to say the Lord challenged that young boy and said, "Do you trust me? Do you really trust me? Are you prepared to take that bear on with my help? Are you prepared to take that lion on with my help? Because if you are, I'll go with you. If not, then you need to stay back." But David, he knew that you can give me all the advice you want based on your years of battle. And it may be good advice if I'm leaning to my own strength, if I am leaning on my own powers, my own capabilities, if I'm expecting to go fight that Goliath with martial skills, I have none. It might be wise, if that's what I'm looking to for strength, to step back. But where was David's strength? He remembered the God of his childhood. He remembered what God had showed him as a small boy. And said, you know what? I really don't need anything to win this battle. I've mentioned it before. He told Goliath, "I'm going to cut your head off." David didn't have a sword. How was he going to do that? We know the story. He did it with Goliath's own sword. He said, "I don't need a sword. You've got the one I'm going to use. God's big. My God is big. My God is powerful. I don't need to worry about how I'm going to get a sword. He'll provide one. He may even give me yours." The faith of that child in the shepherd's fold was going with him onto the battlefield. Have we ever considered that faith of a child, we need to keep that faith? But sometimes I think as adults, as we get older, we start looking at things more realistically. And there's nothing wrong with being cognizant of things in the world. But when it comes to what we expect God to be able to do, do we sometimes get confused with what we're capable of doing? We start asking the Lord, "Well, I don't know how I'm going to do that if you send me out there." You know, wouldn't it have been easy for David to listen to what was going on and, "Yeah, I haven't had military training. But I'll try your armor on. Ooh, this armor just doesn't fit well. It's too loose. It's kind of clanky. It's cumbersome. I didn't realize swords were this heavy. Now I'm supposed to carry a shield with it too? How do y'all get around in this? I'm not going to be able to do this after all. We all might as well go home." But no, what did David's faith do? He put it on. He did the, dare I say, due diligence. But then he stopped and he's like, "You know what, folks? I am not trained in the martial arts. And this armor, it's too big, it's too heavy for me. So tell you what. I'm going to go back to the God of my childhood. I'm going to lean on Him the way I've done, the way He's taught me. And I'm going to go into battle. And I'm going to win. Because that's all I really need." Have we lost our childlike wonder at the power of God? Do we consider that He has the same power today that He's had from the time He spoke the world into existence? Do we really grasp and believe that? It may sound funny, but if you struggle with Him speaking the world into existence, and that's the foundation of where we stand, of where we live. Can you just believe it? Can you accept it like a small child? If you tell a child that, yes, okay, God spoke it into existence. That's what I needed to know. That's how the world started. But our world today, scientists, they peer way out into the universe and they try to do calculations and make assumptions and then see if those assumptions appear to be real so that they can come back and say, this is how we think it all started. What's wrong with just trusting God? With saying, Lord, you talked to the men of old. You're the one that did it. You're the one that made the world, and this is how you said you did it. Why isn't the word good enough? You know, adult limitations, I'm going to call it that on purpose. Do we live in a world full of adult limitations? Where we look at things and we think, well, you know, as an adult, you have to take care of this. You got to watch out for that. You got to do this. You shouldn't do that. It's not wise if you do this. Do we allow those to creep over into our spiritual life? I mean, we do need to respect and follow the laws of the land. Understand that. But what about when the world starts trying to tell us what we need to do? How we need to do it? Does our thought process start focusing on that? The we part. The I part. I need. Well, I've been told I need to do this. I've been told this is how I should prepare for that. What about just taking it to the Lord? And simply saying, Father, here it is. This is what I need your help with. You know, all of David's advisors tended to point out the gloom and doom to him. You know, he's going to beat you up. You're going to lose. He's a warrior. You're not. He's a big man. You're just a little boy. Where was David's focus? Did he say, yes, that's all true? And you know, he didn't seem to deny it. Yeah, he's a big man. Yes, he's an absolutely tall man. Look at that big old spear. Look at the shield. But you know what? As a boy, I killed a bear and a lion through the strength of my God. Not through my strength. Through the strength of my God. And guess what? He's just one man. That was two animals. And I beat both of those two animals. He's just one man. Why can't God help me take down one man? Do we really look at God the way children most probably do when it comes to believing in things? Let's turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. We have to have faith. These verses are a challenge to all of us. We've been taught things about Christ. We've been taught the power he has. Do we believe it? Or have we listened to men and their philosophies? Men that start saying, yes, God did that back in the day. God did heal. He did perform miracles, but that time's past. Well, where in the Bible does it say that time's past? Well, it really doesn't say it, but that was just reserved for the apostles, and those are the people that could do those works, but that doesn't happen in our time. My question would be, if it's not happening in our time, is it because the time's past, or is it because we're more like the folks, what was it, around Galilee, where he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief, their lack of faith? Because that was during the time of Christ. That was when he was doing the miracles. Yet there was a period of time where we have a record that he didn't get the miracles done that he would have liked to have done. It said he would have. He was willing to. But there was a missing element. There was a peace in people's hearts. They could not see him as the Almighty God. They saw him as a limited man. You know, when we look at Christ, we look at God, we need to look at him as children do. If we look at him for something and he tells us no, it doesn't hurt to say, Lord, please. But after a while, we need to submit with a simple understanding that his way is best. As a young man, I know sometimes my father wouldn't really explain to me why he said no. He just said, no, you can't do that. And that was it. But we also need to look at Christ. And when he says yes, have you ever watched some little children if they're asking their parents for a treat or something and the parent says yes and you watch the little child's eyes light up and they run over and they give their parent a great big hug? Have you ever taken a moment to look at the parent's face when that happens? Do you see a dour face and frown? No. You usually see a great big smile, kind look in the eyes. Yes. I appreciate my child. I'm glad they're enjoying it. And I enjoy giving them what they've asked for when it's appropriate. I would challenge us. Remember who Christ is. Remember who God the Father is. We need to honor, obey him, love him. Don't forget the way as a young child you would go up to your parents when they did something for you. You know, God is worthy of all honor and praise. Revelations 4:11 says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. I would challenge us all today, as we go through life, try to remember the God of your youth. Look at him with the eyes of a child. Learn to believe, just simply believe. You all pray for me.